Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us. Thank you for that the words coming out of my mouth today would be your words and not my words. Let everyone here be edified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Mom gave me this the other day. I've never had one. It's a Haley's handbook. Interesting. It's full of a lot of interesting little things. In the front, there's something called Notable Sayings About the Bible, and I thought this was interesting. I'm just going to read one, but it's by Daniel Webster, and it says, "If there is," so he lived back in the 1700s, so Daniel Webster, "if there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we, in our prosperity, neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all this glory in profound obscurity." It's awesome. It's like, yeah, we need God. So, something else I found that was interesting, and I didn't know that. I'm just going to read the first part of it. It's about Mohammedism. I didn't know this. Muhammad was born in Mecca in 1570, so that's after Jesus. He was the grandson of the governor, and in his youth he visited Syria and came in contact with Christians and Jews and became filled with horror of their idolatry. I had no idea why he went on his crusade. I mean, he went the wrong way. He was definitely misled. But it was the Christians' fault and the Jews' fault that he became who he was, because they were not good Christians. They weren't following God. And we have to be careful in our walk that when the world sees us, that they don't become the next Muhammad, you know. And just, he's like, man, I'm going to go see these guys who know God and who are holy. And he went and he saw that. And it's funny, I can remember back to when I was in high school. Every year we'd go to this competition where all the Christian schools would get together and they'd compete. I guess it's in public schools. I think it's called UIL. But anyways, we'd go up to Oklahoma and we'd compete. And they had this worship team. And man, they were amazing. And I went back in the back and I was going to congratulate them. I was going to tell them how amazing, how blessed I was. And they were back in the back swearing at each other. And I just thought that was so funny. I was like, wow. It was not what I expected. So, hallelujah. They're, you did this wrong and you did this wrong. Wow, that's funny. That's funny. We got to be... If you're not a strong believer, that could mess you up. And you think, wow, these Christians don't have it. I keep seeing things go around because I know a lot of people that have been hurt by the church. And the problem is they say, well, God must be bad because Christians are bad. And that's a dumb idea. And we have to tell people, hey, we're going to mess up. And if I mess up, I'm sorry. But that's not who God is. This is, and then you got to tell them who God is. I will do my best to be dead and portray who Christ is to you. But if I mess up, I'm sorry. Don't let that skew who you think God is, because Christians can be wicked. We can do crusades and go and, you know, kill bunches of people for in the name of God. It was funny because we were a couple weeks ago. We were doing catechism, and the thing about don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And everybody thinks it means swearing. You know, don't say Jesus' name as a swear word, which you shouldn't. But that's not what it's talking about. That's exactly what the Crusades was about. It was taking the name of God and going and do something wicked in the name of God. You're taking the name of the Lord in vain. You're saying, I'm doing this in God's name, and God's going to bless me. And it's not. It has nothing to do with God. That's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You're using God for your own personal benefit and gain. Don't do that. You know, it's good. It's good to understand what things mean. Because, I mean, it's easy not to swear. I mean, that's simple. That's like the fence laws that Jewish people made up. Don't eat bacon. It's easy. Don't eat bacon. You know. But, you know, you can find yourself doing things in God's name that aren't godly. So, That's different. That's because that's a heart issue, and if your heart is right with God, you won't do it anyway. Anyway, hallelujah. I'm going to go to John 1, little John. Because we have finished Ephesians last week. It's interesting. So I fill my head with all sorts of weird junk because I love listening to conspiracies and all sorts of stuff. And it's funny because they'll say, "Well, that was a false flag, or that was a psyop, or you know," and you're like, How would you know if anything is real or fake? This guy telling me that was fake, how do I know that he's not lying to me? You know, it's like, and you could just go down that rabbit hole for forever. And the problem with that is it's a distraction. You can even be distracted by things that are good, but it's still a distraction, and it's keeping you from doing what God has given you to do. And because we see all sorts of stuff like this guy is bad and this guy has done this and this group of men is bad and these people are, you know, part of the Jewish cabal and they're just trying to steal this and blah, blah. And you're like, I don't know if any of that's true. It could be. I know that the heart of every man is wicked unless he has God in him. So it could be true. But it's not important. It has no bearing on whether or not I can witness to a man or not. My job is to seek God and then go out and spread the gospel. It is not to try to save the world. That's God's job. I cannot. I'm just one man. I always think, man, if I'm going to go out, I need to make sure it's important. You know, if I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. But, you know, that's dumb. I just need to listen to God, and God will tell me what to do. If we can't get into Palestine, he'll go to Palestinians, and then he'll raise up Palestinians that can go to Palestinians. God can do what he needs to do. He'll, you know, if nobody will worship him, the rocks will cry out. It's, you know, so you just got to listen to God and see, you know, what's God got for you to do? Because he has something for you to do. Sometimes it's simple, like go get a job so that you can help support a ministry. But in that job, you can witness to the people that you work with. Or, you know, you can, if you do a job, you do it to the best of your ability, even if you're getting a lousy wage, because you're not working for that person, you're working for God. You know, it's, when people see that in you, they go, why are you doing this? And you're happy about it. You know, you're out working in this miserable weather and you're happy. That's ridiculous. So anyway, our light's going to shine because the Bible said it. If Jesus is in us and we do everything unto the Lord, our light will shine and people will want what we have because they're all miserable. We announce to you, John, this is, yeah, 1 John. We announce to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we beheld. So that's good. So we're getting a firsthand witness. It's good. When you get a firsthand witness, that's incredible because secondhand and thirdhand, it changes. But this guy, he's telling you, this is a firsthand witness of what happened and what our hands touched, as in regards to the word of life. And the life was revealed, and we have seen, and we have bear witness, and we announce to you that everlasting life, which was with the Father and was revealed to us. So Jesus, everlasting life, it was with the Father. Remember, originally in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were going to live forever. And then they sinned, and God said, yeah, you'll surely die. And of course, Satan said, yeah, you're not going to really die, because Satan was tricking them and he was talking about temporal. He was talking about this body, but God wasn't talking about this body. He was talking about our spirit, our soul. Wasn't talking about this body, because this body is made to last for a long time. It was made to last for more than 80 years, I can tell you that. That's why when your stuff starts falling apart at 40, you're like, wait, I was supposed to last for like 1,000 years. Why is my teeth falling out already? And, you know, it's because of all the junk we eat, even though we think it's healthy. And that's another whole rabbit trail about people grow crummy food that looks good and put crickets in our cereal. And, you know, it's like, wow, you could just, That's why you can't do that, because you could just waste so much time going down all those rabbit trails. You just eat what God made and spend time with God. And life was revealed, and we have seen, and we have bear witness, and we announce to you the everlasting life which was with the Father and was revealed to us. And we announce to you that we have seen and what we have heard, and also that we may have fellowship with us, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write these things to you that your joy may be full. I mean, that's strong. That is so strong. There is no ambiguity in that. Like, when you talk about God, you don't say, I think. You say, I know. When you talk to someone about God, you don't say, I think, because that's your opinion. That's your belief. But when you say, I know, then there is no ambiguity. You're like, this is it. This is the truth. And you cannot, if you try to argue with me, my ears are shut, because this is the truth. And I'm telling you the truth. If you want to receive it, I want you to receive it. I want you to be blessed. I want you to be full. I want you to have joy unspeakable, full of glory. You don't want it, that's fine. But I'm telling you, here's the truth, and I'm speaking it in love. That's the problem with a lot of the churches. They don't speak it in love. They beat people over the head with it. People aren't going to receive it. I mean, what happens when somebody comes against you? Are you open to suggestion? No. You immediately shut down and become defensive. That's why you got to come in love. That's why Jesus came in love. The only people he went after were the people who said they were believers who weren't. You know, they were the Pharisees and the Sadducees whose God was the law. You know, he said, if you'd known Moses, which was who brought the law, you'd know me. But they didn't, because they didn't understand what the whole Old Testament was about. The whole Old Testament was about, hey, when you mess up, just ask me for forgiveness and we'll keep going. I mean, that happened over and over and over and over again. And so they're worried about keeping the law. Oh, we got to make God happy. God is already happy with you. The sin just keeps you from him, but he's already happy with you. He's happy with you. He's happy with the most wicked guy on the face of the earth. He loves that man. He wants that man or woman to go to heaven. We get tangled up in things that aren't important, you know. So, and this is the message which we have heard from him, and we announce to you, God is light, and no darkness is in him. None. So, none. Zero. There's no wicked thing in him. It's only good. And the world will say, well, he killed all those people. He told the Israelites to go in and just kill all those people. Well, God already foreknew that none of those people were going to receive him. But then also there's a throne of judgment where he can come and say, hey, I sent my son down to hell, and I said, if you guys want to come with me, you can come on if you believe in him. You know, God is, if you want forgiveness, God will give you forgiveness. So there is nothing wicked in God. God, we twist things because we don't understand. But if you come from a right foundation, which is God is a loving Father, if you come from that foundation, then everything has to be built on that. And when you see something that seems to disagree with that, you have to ask God, God, why does that seem to disagree with that? And then be quiet and let him explain. So I have a habit of asking questions and then keeping on talking. It's hard for God to talk if you're talking. He's not going to shout over you. He's just waiting for you to shut your mouth and listen. I mean, that's a good conversation. A conversation is you say something, they say something, you say something, they say something. But if you keep talking, then the other person can't talk. And God's patient. Long-suffering. I love the word long-suffering more than patience, because you can have patience with somebody, but that means that you're... they could be annoying you and you're still patient with them. But long-suffering means you're just there and you're going to put up with everything because you love that person no matter what. I like that. I like the long-suffering better. It just means I'll wait forever till you're ready. Given earlier, though, don't wait forever. I don't know if that was a Baptist thing. I remember when I went to Baptist school, they're always like, you never know when you're going to die, so don't blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's actually a pretty accurate statement, but it's like, it's funny. It's funny the things you pick up in the Baptist school. Jesus and Others and You is one of my favorites. That's not even biblical. You got to, you got to know yourself. You got to know that you're blessed first before you can bless others, and then you can bless others. So it's actually kind of an accurate statement once you're mature, because you don't have to put yourself first. Oh, sorry, Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. That's the song. I don't know if you guys know that song. That was a Baptist song. But I always thought, well, that's horrible. I have to love somebody else before I love myself. But then when you become mature, you already realize, oh, God has already supplied all my needs. They need to add that part to the song. You can love others first because you're already fulfilled. Your cup overfloweth. If your cup overflows, it's easy to bless other people because you know you're already blessed and you don't have to seek your blessing. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we are not practicing the truth. So it's good. I mean, you can tell. That's a good thing. You can tell by someone's fruit whether they're walking in Jesus or not. You can tell by their attitude and how they treat people. And I saw a horrible meme the other day. Was it back in 2020 or 2021 when we had the horrible freeze? And somebody posted a meme about the guy down in Houston who has the big church, and they're like, oh, it's cold out. I guess his doors are closed. That was horrible. Sorry. It's like he didn't let any of the poor people in to get warm. Of course, we didn't let any poor people. Look, it wouldn't have mattered that it was freezing cold in the building. So, so, but it makes you think, you know, oh, what would I have done? You know, Jesus said, you know, in the end, you know, I was poor and you didn't give me anything, and I was hungry and you didn't give me anything, and I was clothing. And they're like, well, Jesus, where were you? And he's like, no, I'm talking about all these people around you, the people that Monty and Jackie and Judy go see every week. Those are the people were, and they're not even just talking about poor physically with money. They're talking about poor spiritually. When you don't have Jesus, you're poor. You got nothing. You can gain the entire world and you've lost your soul. That guy's poor. He could have all the money in the world, the richest man in the world, whoever it is, the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, whatever. Those guys, they need Jesus. They don't have it. Their God is themselves. They're poor. They have everything, and they can do anything they want on this earth, but they can't save their own soul. They're poor. So don't walk in darkness. It's no good. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all our sin. So that's good. That's good to know. Whatever you see on the outside, you got to remember, you are not, once you have Jesus in you, you are not who you think you are. You got to remind yourself. Paul says, I die daily, but he also says, you got to remind yourself who you are daily. You got to remind your flesh. Your flesh is dead. You're dead because the flesh loves to peep. Hey, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're dead. I already gave my life to Christ. You're dead. You don't get to rule my life anymore. I do what Jesus says. I do what Jesus tells me to do. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father in heaven saying and doing. That's what I do. That's what I do. Sometimes I have to pray about that because I do. I'm like, should I be doing this? And I'll hear God. Yeah, this is pleasing to me. I'm like, oh, okay. Because it doesn't seem bad, but it doesn't seem right. But it's like, yeah. God, remember, we make our plans and God guides our steps. If God is guiding our steps, then that means he's guiding our steps. So anyway, hallelujah. If we say that we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So don't say you don't have sin. It's good. It's good to know you're a sinner because then you know you need God. That's the whole point of the law. That was the whole point of the law. The Jews never realized that. They kept trying to keep it. We're going to keep it. We're going to keep the law. And God's like, no, I made it so hard that you can't. Have you not realized that? You don't realize that I made it impossible. It's impossible for you to keep the law. You cannot make me happy by keeping the law. You make me happy by realizing that I sent you the answer and just receiving it and letting him do it through you. So I took the law and I gave it to Jesus and Jesus fulfilled it. And now he made it a promise. And he said, hey, if you let me live in you, I will keep that law for you because you can't do it. Man, that's such a burden lifted off of you. I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't want that. It's because they've had lousy Christians around them explaining who God was. You know, it's the church's fault. We can't blame them. They have a bad idea who the church is. Because we got to be out there. You know, you could talk to one person in your entire life and get them saved, and you have no idea if maybe they'll be the next Billy Graham, you know, or Stephen Evans, who goes around to these South American countries and Africa, or Monty and these guys going into the homeless shelters and getting these people saved. They've got nothing. They've got nothing. It's easy to know you have nothing when you're poor. It's harder to know nothing when you're rich. But I mean, when you see the light in somebody, and if you're wealthy and you see joy in somebody, you're like, you're poor. How are you happy? There's no way. I've got everything and I'm not happy. How are you happy? So we need to get in those people's faces, not meanly, but you know, just we need to be around them. Why are you so happy? Because I've got Jesus. He is everything. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous that He may forgive us the sins and that may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's awesome. We got to just ask. Remember, it's just a gift. We don't have to do anything. He didn't say, write down all your sins and take care of those before you come before me. He said, no, bring me all your sins and I will cover them. Just say, Father, here's all my sins. I'm laying it out at your feet. I can't stop doing this. I have tried and I've tried and I've tried in my own strength to stop doing this. I can't. I want to. Paul said, why is it that I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I know that I should? Why? So you got to just come before Jesus and just lay it at his feet. And he'll go, I already took care of it. Let me do it. And you go, wow, I don't have to do anything? He's like, no, just give me your entire life. You're like, wait, what? My entire life? He's like, it's not as bad as you think. Actually, it's way better than you think. I'm going to take the insignificant you and make you a mighty warrior for me. I'm going to make you a light. I'm going to make you salt. I'm going to make you, the world will desire to be you, to know. We're king's kids. They should want to be us. We are children of the Most High. We are princes and princesses, and we will be the bride one day. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So don't say that. There are people that think that. Man, you think that's weird, but there are people that think that. I do not think that. I have sinned. I most likely sin daily. I don't know if you guys sin daily. It's a habit. But we just take it to God. Hey, God, sorry for that. Remember, it's already covered. Once you get saved, the sin part is covered. But the reason you say, hey, God, sorry that I did that, is because you're in a relationship with that person. When you hurt someone, they love you unconditionally, and they know that it really wasn't from your heart, and you didn't really mean it. But it's really good to go and ask forgiveness anyways, because they'll forgive you. They'll forgive you, because when you love somebody unconditionally, you'll love them. Somebody can hurt me, and they could never come and ask me forgiveness, and I've already forgiven them. It's not like I said a couple weeks ago. You know, the guy that the master forgave him the huge debt. If God forgave me everything, how can I not forgive you one thing or even 10 things or even 70 times 7 things? Because God forgave everything I've ever done. I'm not going to hold anything against you. So I may not trust you anymore, but I won't hold it against you. You guys are supposed to laugh. That was funny. Sorry. I need to put a laugh track up here. So you guys know, put a little sign, a joke. Sorry, that was better. That was much better. So, it's good. So our purpose in life is not to figure out the world or to learn everything or to, you know, become the best at whatever this is and whatever that is. It's to seek God and ask God what to do. You know, I always find it fascinating when somebody came up with a new invention They always locked themselves away. You find this about almost all of them. They would lock themselves away, and they would spend time with God, and they would tinker around with stuff, and they'd come out with something. Telephone, light bulb, peanut butter, whatever. They did. And it's because God has hidden secrets, and you just got to get quiet before Him and say, God, this is a problem. How can I solve this? And God will say, hey, I've already got the answer. Remember, I created the entire world. He told that to Job. Hey, were you there at the beginning? Job was like, yeah, I wasn't. I could have saved myself 23 chapters or whatever's in between the first and the last chapter if we just gotten to this point. I was not there. You are right, God. I thought I was the bomb, and because I was like, look at everything I got around me, and I didn't sin. There's no way I sinned. I didn't do anything wrong, and everything's falling apart. And which he had, you know, God said, hey, Satan, look at this guy. Look at this guy. He's doing great. Because the guy loved God. I think, you know, in the beginning, we don't know when Job was. It was closer to the beginning because it kind of comes in the middle-ish. But it was closer to the beginning. He knew who God was. But he, you know, he forgot. Oh, I didn't create everything. I don't know everything. I'm not as brilliant as I thought I was. I need you for everything, God. And then, you know, immediately when he repented, God restored everything to him. It was, you know, it's awesome. That's a good story. It's weird. I mean, I say read the first chapter and read the last chapter. The rest of it is man postulating. If you would read a bunch of men postulating, that's the whole center of that book. Trying to figure out who did wrong and what did wrong. It's a hard one to read for that, because that you're like, golly, you guys are long-winded to get to the good part. And what we always wanted is just to get to the good part, get to the answer. I'm very succinct. I like to be succinct. Here's the problem. Here's the answer. I don't want an explanation. Just tell me the answer. That's the way I like it. So, but God, you know, that's the fun thing about God is He takes His time. He grows you up slowly. You can't grow up quick. If you grow up quick, you're going to miss a bunch of stuff. That's why He grows us up slowly. He takes things out of our life slowly so that it sticks, and then we understand, and then we see it, and we, you know, you can't just go from salvation to power. You're not going to know what to do with that power because you're not mature. You're not dead. That's the biggest thing, is being dead to yourself. Because when you're dead to yourself, then you can totally be used by God. But when you still have some selfishness in you and some desire in you, you have to wrestle with that. You have to put that down. That's why Paul said, I die daily, because we're human. We're human. And it's still, you know, our flesh tries to rear up, and we got to spend time in the Word and remind us. We got to feed our spirit and not our flesh. And it's easier. It's so easy in the United States to feed your flesh. It is not hard to do. It's all around us. And it's, you know, it's so funny that when you see people complain about how hard they have it in the United States, and you're like, we have it better than anybody in the entire world. If you go, I mean, we went down to Mexico one time, Mary and I, and we drove from Cancun to Playa del Carmen. And you drive past people that are living in cardboard boxes on the side of the road. And you go, wow. It's crazy. I mean, people live in poverty. You know, and it's not like just like one box. It's like a mile of people living in cardboard boxes. It's crazy. And you just don't even understand. We have no idea how blessed we are to be in this country. It doesn't. So when you hear young people talk about that kind of stuff, they're like, oh, we're so oppressed. You're like, whoa, you have no clue. You can speak your mind. You can say out loud, we're oppressed. If you were in North Korea and you said, we're oppressed, you and three generations would be in prison. You know, it's like, you don't know. Or dead, yeah. So we shouldn't squander what we've got. And it's hard not to squander it because we have it so easy. When things get hard, so I actually when Joe Biden got in office, I thought, man, I got to get real now, because when Trump was in office, things were easy, things were going well. Money was easy to make, taxes were low. I thought, man, now that the enemy's in charge, I'm gonna have to have a God. And it's true. I mean, things are horrible, but who cares? I have a God. That's the thing. That's the problem with the Jewish people. They complain all the time. They're like, hey, we're persecuted, and it's like, what God do you have that parted the Red Sea and fed you manna and quail on Sundays? You know, it's like, what God do you have that dropped the walls of Jericho? Is that not the same God that you still have? Are you really, you know, are you really the cult, the victim in this? You've got the God of all gods on your side. You're not a victim. You are a chosen people, so stop complaining and start living like who you are instead of complaining about, you know, who's said mean things or tried to hurt you. People do that to all people. That's the thing, is everybody everywhere is trying to hurt people and say mean things to people. It's not specifically to them. So it's just like, man is evil. Man's heart is evil. Unless you got God in you, you don't want to bless people. You want to bless yourself. I had a point to that. I'm trying to remember what it was. That's just it. We have the God Almighty living in us, and we can do whatever He has laid out for us to do, we can do it. He's already laid a path. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Don't worry about it. You know, this church is still around. Why is this church still around? It is. God loves you and this church. This building has a purpose. We're here. And as long as God has a purpose for us, this building will be here, and we will be in it, and we will be using it, and we will be glorifying God through it. Hallelujah. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for each and every person that's here. Thank you that they show up faithfully every week to hear what you have to say, and that their desire is to do your will. They wouldn't be here if it wasn't their desire. It's to do your will, to understand your purpose. And thank you that you have already provided the provisions and the way, and that we just need to be quiet and listen and do. And that you've given us the strength and the power and the peace and the joy to do what you have set before us. And let everyone be safe today and throughout the week, and have edifying conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Monty, can you do the...
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Wahoo! You guys have an awesome week.